My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of Ben and Woods on a Friday. City Connect Friday, Padres at home tonight, continuing their series against the Milwaukee Brewers, and it is time for our manager's report with Mike Chilt, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better. We bring the skipper on board. Congratulations. You were right, Mike. It was historic last night. The first time in Padres franchise history, 3 straight walk-off home runs at Petco Park. Hey, that was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, yeah. You know, I've never experienced anything like that. So you felt like pretty rare. So, you know. Organization's been around for a while, but man, pretty cool.
It's definitely cool, and I was, you know, obviously watching the game last night, and I thought to myself when it happened, it was such a sigh of relief. I know you had to be feeling it too. I know Jeremiah Estrada probably feeling it as well, and what a gamer he was to step up last night and take the ball, Skip. And you know, for you though, you know, and everybody knows, that's not the best sustainable way to win baseball games in the future, but I'll sure take them over losses right now.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. Not sustainable, but, you know, look, you win games in weird ways, and you play 162 games, man, you're going to have different kind of games, and I think we've all seen that following baseball over the years, and, you know, it was a game we're just glad to come on the good side of.
Got home runs from both Manny and Tatis. I mean, that is such a welcome sight for Padres fans, but I want to talk about Jackson Merrill and this recent power surge, because, you know, I remember kind of hearing the scouting reports going, at some point in his career, this guy might, you know, develop some power to go with all the other tools that he has, but didn't expect kind of to happen right away. 6 home runs in 8 games. Are you seeing anything, you know, different from Jackson? Where is this coming from right now?
You know, Jackson's throwback is kind of not a great way of describing it, but my point I'm getting at, first of all, he did something that only Willie Mays has done, God rest his soul, you know, passing of an obvious legend and a real miss for our game. But what an icon and what an example of greatness on and off the field. But what I'm getting at with Jackson, you know, 100 years ago when I was doing this and the game was played a little differently and taught a little differently, right or wrong, in general, guys like Jackson, or guys just in general, would learn how to hit. They'd learn how to hit the ball the other way. They'd learn how to, you know, be a good hitter. And then the power would come, and they would learn how to get comfortable and, you know, pick their spots. And they had a stroke that allowed them to use the whole field, which allowed them to have consistent at-bats. And then, as we all know, the game morphed into more of an all-or-nothing outcome. Well, in that case, I think Jackson's a little bit of a throwback. You know, he's a guy that has really good bat-to-ball skills, values that, you know, just trying to take good at-bats, getting his hits, getting on base, you know, taking what the game gives him. And now is, you know, maturing quickly, I would add into learning how to drive the ball. You know, I don't like to compare players, but Jimmy Evans was like that. If you follow his career, didn't hit a lot of minor league homers, didn't hit a lot of power, and ended up becoming a borderline Hall of Famer, and a guy that ended up having some big moments with some big power. But he came up learning how to hit, and that was a little bit more of the way it used to be, and that's what Jackson has done.
Do you see it, Skip, getting back to that a little bit? I mean, you got guys like Stephen Kwan, you got guys like, you know, your very own Luis Arraez, you got Jackson Merrill. Are you seeing maybe a little bit of a return to, you know, hit first, power later?
I'm not seeing some kind of trend that I go, oh man, we're going back to that. I do see more of it. I do think the game, you know, I haven't had as much touch points with them, you know, being able to travel around and see minor leagues and last offseason, didn't spend as much time as typical. And I will this year going to, you know, a lot of my high school and coaching friends and seeing their programs and talking to them. Because I always try to you know, talk to what the players are like and what's taking place and scouts and what's coming up, because that's the future of our game. And I'm always curious about, you know, we say things trickle down, but really, you know, players and philosophies and how amateurs are playing, a lot of that, how they're thinking, how they're being trained, that typically trickles up. So the point I'm getting is I don't know if it's taking place or trending in that direction. I do see some teams, us being one of them, having a little bit more of a holistic approach to hitting, using the whole field. So I do see that philosophy coming back a little bit in certain areas of the game. But I couldn't tell you if the players are trending in that way or not.
Mike, I want to ask you about your bullpen. You know, I made this point earlier that simply in terms of volume of games, you guys have played more than anybody else in baseball. Less off days, more games, quite a bit more than some teams, like seven more than other teams at this point. You know, I'm not saying that I'm not overreacting to one or two games this past week, but, you know, your bullpen has been worked a lot. There's been some ups. There's been some downs. What are you kind of seeing in terms of how you can get a little more consistency out of the pen, and you know, are you anticipating a move to try to bring some reinforcements here?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into AJ space about the move. I got my hands full as it is. He's on top of our club, and, you know, I like our club. You know, this is something that, you know, you'll probably ask me in another 3 to 4 weeks, and I'll give a similar answer. But it's a legitimate question, and I get it. And it's a fairly, I mean, overall, it's a general question. I'll give you a simple, what I see is a simple and general answer. Bullpens are as good as the starting pitching, you know, and that's just the fact of the matter, you know. And when you have, not solely, I won't say that, so it'll be a longer answer, but at the starting point, you know, if starters go deeper in games, then you keep your bullpen fresh. And when your bullpen's fresh, they're usually more efficient. Pretty common, right? Pretty basic.
Sure.
And, you know, it's also interesting because, rightfully so, you know, so if you don't get starting pitching going past, you know, 4 or 5 innings, consistently, which I think 4 of our last starts. And look, I like our starters. It's just, you know, the other side's trying too. We've played some good clubs, we've had some good approaches. You know, they're competing their tail off. But, you know, their bullets get spit, and then you get to a certain point in the game where you got to make a decision. You know, and sometimes you ride your starter a little bit longer and because your bullpen is a little depleted. But you get 4 out of 5 games, and you're in your bullpen in the 4th or 5th inning, and you're in a stretch of games where, you know, we had 13 day off, now we're 13. To your point, we played more games than anybody in the game, you know, starting early with in Seoul. So, you know, your bullpen's going to get a little taxed, and then you're going to, because of that, it gets, the dominoes get out of place a little bit in the sense of, you know, giving guys rest, like, it's just the case. The guys have to pitch and have to carry the mail. And, you know, sometimes they're not as effective. And then the other side of that, on the bullpen side of it, that they have ownership in is, and we all have ownership in it, you know, make sure they're put in the right place. but is being efficient when they're in there and when you're a little more fatigued or you're, you know. And I feel like we've done a good job outside of Jeremiah going three of passing the ball around and not trying to sacrifice, you know, them for competition and still try to win games, which, you know, is clearly the end goal. Marrying those two is a you know, Hatfield-McCoy marriage some days. And so them being efficient allows them to be able to bounce back and not have to use another guy to get through to win games. And, you know, the wrap-up point about bullpens is, you know, I say people understand, but in the moment or in a silo, I've said this before, and it's a great example was given to me more recently. It's in a video game, you know, where, yeah, I can bring this guy in and he's fresh and he can just pitch. And these guys can't pitch every day. And like I said, we pushed guys, you know, to go answer. And they know there's going to be times in the season relievers. Randy Choate, old left-hand reliever, used to have a T-shirt said relievers are people too. and, you know. So it's a long answer to your question, but bullpen, that's broad strokes, simple way of putting it, and what can be somewhat a complex of operating. But, you know, it's just interesting to me how people do view bullpens and having done it for, you know, 25, 30 years, however long. It's, you know, that's my high-level answer to it.
Talking to Mike Schilt, skipper of the San Diego Padres here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, I'm typically the guy that I don't want to use the word blame, but I put the responsibility on the guys. Hey, can you go today? You can? Great. Give me what you got. Sometimes it doesn't work out. I tend to kind of put it on the players, the guys that are actually executing the pitches. And in some cases, Skip, not executing the pitches. I wanted to ask about one in particular. You've managed a lot of guys. You've managed a lot of left-handers out of the bullpen. A guy like Yuki Matsui, who early in the season, you know, very, very effective and has maybe gotten a little less so, walking too many guys, I think, for probably everybody's liking right now. How do you get him back on track? And it's got to be a kind of a tougher call in a higher leverage situation for you to go to Yuki right now. How do you get him back going again?
Well, you know, a couple things about a tougher call. I mean, I'm going to go back to my previous answer. It's not a silo of when you can put these guys in, right? Like, you know, so sometimes it's just you have two or three guys. That's the other thing that is super fun for my chair.
Sure.
Is when people are like, you can't pitch. I'm not talking about Yuki because I'll get to Yuki in a minute. Yuki's going to be fine. But it's just interesting when, this guy is pitching. There's not anybody else to pitch some days, you know. And so that part's just a sidebar for my chair that's super fun.
I bet.
You know, but anyway, Yuki, listen, he's similar to a fair amount of guys in our bullpen. And this is the other part that is just real. Yeah, there's a learning curve. No one loves a learning curve in the big leagues on any team that's looking to compete in any sport. No one wants to hear. And I wish it didn't have to happen. But the fact of the matter is, learning curves are real. You know, this is the top of the people's profession, and Yuki's come in and he's had some really good moments for us. And you know, sometimes we forget those. And we do expect these guys to be absolutely on point every single time. We get frustrated when it doesn't happen. And I get it. People, we care. We all care. We want the best, and I expect the best. So don't misinterpret. But I'm also realistic that. Yeah, he's been really good. He's helped us out in big spots this year. So I don't forget that and draw from that and draw from his experience in Japan being a closer. And then conversely, like, it's his first year in the big leagues. It's his first year, you know, figuring out what this all looks like, figuring out the hitters. And, oh, by the way, he's doing it in an entirely different culture. And that's the other thing that, you know, I have the experience of understanding and seeing. And look, guys, I ain't making no excuse for anybody. We get it. It's a bottom-line game. I understand that. But they are human, and he's in a different country, and he's making adjustments, you know, in a lot of different areas. It takes a while, whether you're a player who got traded, used to be in another team, become another country. There's just human. And so you know, yeah, Yuki's done well. He's also struggled with his consistency of his command, and that's you know, the thing that he's working on the most. Is he trying too hard? Is he, you know, still feeling out, you know, what he's doing, certain role? All of that's true. But Yuki has got the stuff in the zone to get out, and we just need to find that more consistently.
You know, I think that learning curve comment is so interesting because we're seeing it before our eyes with Matt Waldron. And you talk about needing, you know, a little more length from your starting pitching. You're getting it from Matt Waldron, and he's the guy that I think as fans, we didn't really expect that much from this season. But in spring training, you and AJ and the team, you chose him to be your fifth starter at that point. Did you have an idea that this was possible, you know, just based on what you saw from him, you know, early on this spring?
Actually, yes.
Okay.
You know, you see the best version of guys. Now, you know, you mentioned Estrada. We, you know, you asked about Waldron. Like, we sat down with Jeremiah and said, "Hey, man, you can be a really good eighth inning guy if based on your stuff." So go, you know, Ruben Nievo does a great job. Ben Fritz, our bullpen coach, is tremendous as well. You know, had a clear plan for him. So getting back to Maddie, you know, Maddie's got an elite pitch that, you know, when it's hard to catch, it's got to be hard to hit, right? I mean, he had a big league catcher, you know, Higgy's his guy, and this guy's been in 17 years of professional baseball, and he does a great job with him. But occasionally, it's like, you know, he's hanging on for, he's just along for the ride with his thing and just trying to corral it. He does, you know, like I said, he's done a great job, but hard to catch, hard to hit, man. And so, and it's an outlier pitch. These guys aren't in the big leagues, aren't seeing it every day. And plus, he's coupled with a good sweeper that he can throw, and he's got, you know, he's got a legitimate fastball. It's 90-93 that he can keep people honest with, and he can locate because he's a strike thrower with it. So, man, what a great combination. So you just know, all right, if this guy can get through, you know, some of the learning curves of, you know, understanding what a big league starter looks like on a consistent basis, routine, his pregame routine, and then the feeling out process of how much to throw it, how hard to throw it, when to throw it, when to mix his other pitches in, and he's able to get it in the zone, and you know, you're starting to see what we're seeing now. So, you know, that's the reason he's on the club.
Talking to the skipper, Mike Schilt here on Ben and Woods this morning, and I know you're not on Twitter, but you know who John Boy Media is. I couldn't let you off the hook this morning without asking you about
he knew this was coming.
The lip reading video. I'm sure you've seen it. I wonder if the players have asked you about it. I had to bring it up. Your ejection in New York the other day. Have you seen this clip?
No, I have not.
Oh, yes, he hasn't seen it.
Boy. I'll get it to you.
I have heard about it.
Okay, you have heard. All right. So you know what I'm talking about. I'm not completely going in blind here.
I know. Look, I was ejected. I know what I said. So
yeah, you know. It's true. You didn't know that everyone else is going to know what you said, though.
That's exactly right. Do you feel a little violated by that whole thing?
I've gotten over that violation. I don't love it. You know, I don't know how it was interpreted. The same guy, which he's, you know, he's doing his gig. Everybody's got a gig, and that's fine. You know, he caught me in Chicago years ago in a similar fashion, so I know it exists. Maybe I've got to be, you know, covering my mouth.
Mike, the title of the video was "Manager Politely Asks to Be Ejected."
Yeah, that was the title.
You're a nice man.
You're a nice guy.
I mean, it's not the worst thing.
It's nothing to apologize for, in my opinion.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, I don't apologize. I mean, listen, you know, I think you're asking the question. No, I don't, you know, listen, I always have our guys' backs. You know, I made it pretty clear using an expletive that typically comes out about the actual pitch.
Yes, you did.
Which, you know, Manny took exception with. I took exception with. I wanted it to be clear that there was a, you know, there was an unhappiness that took place with the judgment. But then after that, you know, it's like, look, I'm not going to, you know, and sometimes I've got a good relationship in general with umpires, even though you probably see me yelling at them a lot.
Sure.
But overall, I've got a very respectful, rightfully relationship with them. They have a hard job to do. I grew up washing and shining shoes of umpires for, you know, 6 years. And, you know, hearing people yelling at him, banging on doors, and that was back in the day when, you know, it was right beside a clubhouse and there was a little less security. in Double A, so I lived their lives and I empathize with the, you know, the challenges they have. And so the point I'm ultimately getting at, I don't have a real reputation. I'll have some one-offs. Had one earlier. I'll probably have another where I'll really get into somebody if it's warranted. And yeah, it was warranted for the ejection and make sure that, you know, support our guy and make sure they know what we don't appreciate it. But my point is these guys won't throw, and I said they won't throw me out, but I got to like, it's okay, man. You can, it's all right, you know? So anyway, that was as much of what that was like. As Paul Harvey would say, now you know most of the rest.
Well,
of the story.
And our take was, you know, people were worried. Was Manny really know that he's got his back?
Was Manny
you know, he's
mad?
Not really, really mad. And we both said Manny more than any other player knows how things work. I mean, Manny knows exactly how these things work.
See, I find it interesting that I don't know any. You know, the public opinion is public opinion. People are clearly entitled to them. So it's interesting to me that people would even ask that, because Aguino texted me, you know, day after or later that night, and you know, whenever it came out, you know, and he's like, "That's, you know, I won't share the text." He's like, "You always got the back, you know, checked in on me, but like, yeah, this is you, and you know, you're, you know," he was complimentary about how it went down, and he was complimentary about, you know, taking care of Manny. So, It's interesting. Like, you can, you know, people can complain you didn't take care of him enough. Like, you know, I should have.
No one doubts that you've got your players back.
Yeah,
like, that's the one thing no one could ever doubt. You've got your players back for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate it as always. We joked you're actually tougher on the reporters and the radio people than you are on the umpires.
That's right. Keep it coming.
Wait a minute, the radio people.
Yeah!
Wait a minute.
Here we go.
You guys need to be drug tested.
See? You're out of here. You're gone.
That's true.
You're gone. You've been ejected from this interview, Mike.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
Gosh, you wanted it. You wanted it. Let's go. You're gone. Thanks so much, Skip. Good luck tonight.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
See you. There he is. The Skipper, Mike Shelter, Manager's Report, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better. Yeah, maybe that was the bad call that I just made. But, you know, it's his job to challenge the bad calls.
That's right.
Very fun. Very fun conversation with Mike Shildt. We'll break down a little bit of what he had to say. I thought his bullpen comments were pretty interesting. I'd love to know what you think. Maybe we can get some phone calls in. 833-288-0973.
What a fool believe.
Oh, and maybe you should be calling now as well for a certain giveaway. All coming up, back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Congratulations to Mike not Mike Schilt, but Mike won the Doobie Brothers tickets, called in to win in our last segment. But our thanks again to the skipper, Mike Schilt. Always some playful back and forth on his weekly manager's report appearances. And thank you again to San Diego County Credit Union for making that possible.
Got a great tweet from our beloved Will Holder. He says, hearing Schulte talk makes me feel mean for my thoughts about our baseball team. Yeah.
Kind of, yes.
It does. It kind of makes you. Yes. I felt like when he started talking about Yuki, I went, all right, you're right. You got me. And that's why I told him.
Who was the reliever with the relievers or people?
Randy Choate.
Randy Choate, yeah.
I was like,
believers are people too.
I was like, okay, yeah, okay, you're right. Yep, new culture, kind of a rookie. I mean, not kind of a rookie. All right, crap. my thoughts are impure, and I do apologize. No, I mean, look, he's right. He's got a different perspective. He sits in a different chair. He always will, but he's used the silo term before, and we've said it a billion.
What
times.
What does that mean to you?
It's easy to manage a bullpen in a silo, right? I mean, it's very, very simple.
Because in a silo, everything's contained. There's no outside factors.
Correct.
There's no injury. There's no overuse.
There's no flu.
There's no illness. It's just
nagging groin
very
injury,
simple.
Right? Like, there's just very simple in a silo. There is no worse gig in sports.
And,
none.
And what he said.
Managing a bullpen. None.
About starting, you know, bullpen's as good as your starting pitcher.
Absolutely.
And lately,
right.
The Padres' starting pitchers, due to a number of factors, Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove going on the injured list, you know, short performances by Randy Vasquez and Adam Mazur, and even, you know, Michael King's pitching well, but didn't go deep because they worked him hard. Cease has been struggling. So other than Waldron, they're getting no length out of any of their starters, which means everybody's overused, and they have no off days to reset or give anybody a break.
Yep.
So I guess what you're saying is, of course his bullpen is struggling a little bit right now.
Satan's Blowfish is, you know, in a silo, there's no getting sick, there's no feeling a little extra tired, no baby drama, nothing. Like, it's just, it's one of those things where you have to keep it in mind, but fans don't really want to. And I do get the sense, as much as it bugs him, that fans don't really want to, he does understand it. He's been around the game long enough that fans are fanatics, and we are insane. And we expect perfection and the best every single time. And, you know, knowing it's impossible. You know, you're chasing something that's a futile dream. Nobody's ever had a perfect bullpen. Never. It's never existed. There've been really good, effective bullpens. Nobody's ever been perfect. No closer has any closer ever gone like 56-56
for save opportunity.
No.
I think Eric Gagne did once, had that amazing season. Trevor's best was, what was he, 53-54
that
he should have won the Cy Young.
And Robert Suarez may be there at the end of the year. He has had about as good of a year as you can imagine. But even he has faltered. So I can certainly appreciate that. I try to be semi-logical. It's hard when I'm watching. Easier when I'm talking about it. When I'm watching is when I lose it.
Dan in the chat says MLB screwed the Padres with the schedule this year. Well, remember, everything that goes around comes around. So while the Padres have played more games and taxed their bullpen more, theoretically at least, when you get to the second half of the season and other teams are going to have to make up those games and have less days off and use their bullpens more, the Padres will have more days off and will hopefully have a chance to be more fresh and take advantage and be in a good situation against the other teams that are coming in. And they just played seven in a row and they just used their bullpens a ton. And the Padres are going, yeah, we just had two off days this week and we're feeling really good right now. So hopefully it all evens out later.
No matter what you do for a living, no matter what it is that you do for a living, we've all had those weeks. This week was one of them where you look at it on Monday and you go, If I can just get through this, and I may win some, I may lose some. I just got to get to this date. Then I'm feet are up, and it's easy street. And I do feel like Padres are in one of those stretches right now. Again, we've been saying it all year. Hang around. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable winning one, losing one. It certainly wasn't enjoyable losing five in a row. That can't happen. But again, reinforcements potentially coming back with Yu Darvish, and hopefully those guys can give that bullpen a little bit of a rest because they've earned it, man. They have. They deserve it. They were really, really good for a while,
yeah,
and they helped us win a lot of
ballgames. But even when Yu comes back, he's probably going to be on a bit of a pitch count. You know, they're still a little ways away from getting back to full strength rotation, which means then full strength bullpen as well. Did not address, he said, we'll leave it to AJ and the roster moves about whether Tom Cosgrove will be back today, but that is the word on the street that the Padres will make a move and bring Tom Cosgrove back to the bullpen to at least give Mike Schilt another option for at least tonight's game with that depleted pen.
All right. Well, we got one more segment. You guys thought you got off the hook today. You didn't. You and Paul.
Oh.
Yeah, you're not off the hook. I didn't forget. I don't forget anything.
Yeah, our CEO meeting yesterday.
Absolutely clowned out, the both of you. I'm furious. I've been furious for like 18 hours straight here. So I got to roast these two. If you listen to yesterday's opening segment, you'll know what I'm talking about. If not, I'll reset the whole thing for you, and we'll preview tonight's game against the Milwaukee Brewers. A bunch of kiss asses I work with. This is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So disappointed.
I will defend myself.
Oh, I
next
know.
Next on 97.3 The Fan.
Tell everybody your little nugget you're so delighted by.
I'm not delighted by it. I'm impressed. You might remember former PGA Tour player Dick Mast.
I do not remember Dick Mast.
Oh, he was a regular on tour for a while. He qualified for the Champions Tour event, 73 years old, and he qualified with the Monday qualifier, and now shot his one better than his age today in the first round of the Dick's Open.
What an open. My favorite open.
So if you want to keep an eye on Dick Mast and the Dick's Open this
like
week.
Like Dick's Sporting Goods?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. They sponsor the tournament.
Okay. I did not know Dick. I don't
we
know.
Had some revelations yesterday around this place. I don't know if anyone caught the round table, but what ended up clearly being the highlight is we learned that Chris Ello used to deliver singing telegrams.
Did you hear this, Paulie?
No.
You didn't hear this? Yes.
Yeah, so, you did not hear this?
I missed
that
part.
So the seventh inning stretch question was, what's the worst job you've ever had? And, you know, Woods told his story about selling inspirational art out of his trunk.
Success.
And then the tuxedo, the one day tuxedo rental shop when he wrecked all the tuxedos. Craig was great. He talked about working at soup plantation and like burning himself 12 times a day on the soups and the muffins.
He was very excited to get promoted to muffin man. And then he found the muffin tin, the muffin pans.
Just burned you like all the time.
Seared his arms. So he went home. His arms were covered in burns.
But then we get to Ello, and he goes, well, I don't think I've ever told anybody this, but during one of my summers at San Diego State, I needed a job, and for a couple of months, I delivered singing telegrams around San Diego.
But most interesting is that you had five get-ups to choose from.
Yeah.
And one was a cowboy. Okay.
You had to wear a costume.
Cowboy.
Knock on a door.
There was like
and then sing.
And then the one that was really interesting, Paulie, was like an Adam and Eve type bit where he was Adam in a bodysuit with a leaf covering his wiener.
Oh,
and he would have to go in and sing. And I said, oh, my Lord. I looked at him and I like an alien. I go, you did this. You did. Chris Ello. You went and did singing. He goes, yeah. I go, oh. Do you remember? No, I don't remember any of it. I'm like, blessed.
Now, of course.
She told me a young Chris Ello was like, I heard that you were feeling ill.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, my
yeah, well, then.
God.
So then, Paulie, guess who was listening? Adam.
Oh.
I won't do anything. I need this. He tweeted about it.
He
ran in. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Oh, my God. What do I need to do to get you in? Scraby went nuts with it, and Ello's like, what did I do?
Oh, boy.
What did I do? And we had to move on to the roundtable. You know me. I would have interviewed him for an hour about it. I thought it was the most – it's riveting. Riveting. Like, he's had some cool stuff happen in his life. I mean, the guy, you know, played
Tony Gwynn.
With Tony Gwynn.
That's San Diego State.
That's something to hang your hat on. This is more interesting to me.
It just was so out of
character. It's out
of character. Chris doesn't seem like the singing telegram sort.
I will do anything at all. Anything you need. I'm going to go get a unitard right now. Paulie, go look at his Twitter.
Jeffrey says someone had a great comment. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my sweetie pie.
Hello, my ragtime gal. It was incredible. I mean, you're like, wow, my story sucked compared to that.
Ben's was refereeing little kids playing basketball.
Like, how compared did selling to motivational posters like a cat hang in there? How did that get beat?
How did that get buried? Yeah, me in my suit. Like, it was like an Impreza or something, or like something like that with a hatchback. And I remember one day I broke a bunch of them, so I had to pay for them. It was terrible. God. It was a terrible gig, but he was actually doing singing telegrams. But so yeah, he was. And now he doesn't have any pictures. He doesn't remember the name of the company. Nothing. No video. No.
Now this
nothing.
Is 1981. We didn't just have camera phones
right.
everywhere to record these things.
It was great. That was a great, great story. But so we did the roundtable, and then I told you guys the story of what happened to me after. If you want to go back and listen, what happened to a friend of mine, 6 a.m. It was pretty heavy stuff. But we came back here. We had a meeting with our CEO, David Field. And the meeting started with our boss, Michael, calling us out with David. Because apparently he picked up David from the airport. And they put on Ben and Woods, as we suspected they might. And they just happened to catch when we started talking about the meeting. And how I said, look, it's 1:45 in the afternoon. I got here at 5. I just want to be at home. Don't ask any superfluous questions. All right?
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
The boss always has one or two that's, you know, it's pre-scripted. And, oh, let me ask you about this, right? Oh, just off the cuff, right? So we knew that was coming. That's fine. You knew a salesperson was going to ask something. That's standard. But I said to my guys in here, Benny and Paulie, I said, you guys, I mean, we don't even have to worry about you guys asking the question because we're not going to ask anything. We just want to get out of there. Son of a bitch, if Ben didn't raise his hand and ask the first question. And now he
wasn't the first question.
No.
It was like the second question.
The first question among the two of you.
Yeah, but let me
Woods asked the first question, but he claims it was just a joke.
It was a bit.
Let
me explain. We got called out. And he said, oh, so I'm sure Ben and Woods will have a lot of questions for you. I go, oh, yeah. By the way, how is fourth quarter pacing? Like, it was a joke. And I sat down, I shut my mouth. We all agreed that we were going to do.
It was strategic, though. The meeting was going too short.
Yes,
I agree. We were only like 15 minutes in, and I felt like
10. It was 10.
10 or something. And I felt like if there wasn't one or two questions to keep it going, it was going to be very awkward.
But the point was to end the meeting.
It wasn't going to just end there.
We never said.
It wasn't just going to end.
Did I get on the air and say, hey, let's keep this thing going as long as we can. I said, let's get out of here.
Here's the thing. The meetings that you're referring to are the ones that go about 45 minutes.
And then questions.
And then people start asking questions.
Had that happened, I would have been silent. But because we had only gone like 12 minutes, and then he asked for some questions.
It was supposed to be an open
forum. We needed to get it to like 25 minutes just for everyone to feel satisfied and get out of there. So I tried to come up with something that would, you know, keep it moving, but not derail the process.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
This is a terrible question.
It wasn't the best.
It was a horrible.
Paulie had a great question.
Paulie did. I want to get to
his. Paulie actually asked a phenomenal question.
But your question was terrible.
Well, actually, I got an answer to my question.
Not from him.
Theo wasn't the right guy, but Adam answered it. So my question was, and I thought, the reason I thought he might be able to.
Terrible question.
It's not a question for the CEO.
Well, it wasn't, but I thought maybe he could have something to do with in terms of the negotiations with like Major League Baseball. When we play our. It's hard to, when you play your app, it's hard to play the Padres games in San Diego because you like identified as outside the county. But Adam said they just had an update where if you turn on location settings in the Odyssey app, it should be able to play. So if you're ever like on a walk trying to listen on your earbuds and it's going, you can't listen because you're outside the market area. And I'm going, no, I'm not. I'm in San Diego. Now you should be able to do it. So I did get an answer at least.
Like asking the CEO, hey, what headphones do you like?
I could have answered your question. Fine.
Adam could have answered.
That's an MLB thing. Adam did. It has nothing to
Paulie
do with it.
Had a great question, though.
Yeah, so then Ben has now broken the Ben and Woods seal, and it's free reign.
That's also part of what
it's
it was.
Free reign to just fire questions at the CEO and extend our time. And Paulie did ask a good one. He said, asked about AI.
How does Odyssey plan to incorporate AI or not incorporate AI? Because, look, I'm not too worried about AI maybe doing our specific jobs. But, man, if you're just spinning records and talking for 30 seconds in between them, I'd be pretty worried because I know that technology exists.
Katie
Traffic
asks,
reporters.
Yeah.
That can be replaced by AI pretty damn quickly, and it's kind of scary.
Katie asks, so I'm in a meeting. I ask, could this have been a call? then I ask, could this call be an email? Then I wonder if the email could have been a text. I think the answer, Katie, is yes, yes, yes to all of it. But listen, you got to put in the FaceTime as a CEO. But then we got down to a minute. We got down to the end of the meeting. And one of our sales guys raised his hand and asked about FM radio and AM radio in cars because his Tesla is not – they had to do an upgrade in his Tesla. And then our boss weighed in about his Tesla. And so then they looked at me. I was laughing. They looked at me and I said, I don't get the signal very well in my vacation beach home. And I said, all you guys talking about your Tesla problems, I just want to go home. My boss, everyone looked at me like, oh, you're dead. You're dead. Cadillac problems. Well, actually, Tesla problems for all these people and their Teslas. So it ended. It was fine. It was not that long. 45 minutes, I think.
It was even less.
Even less. And then we had some food.
Yeah.
Then we went home.
But it's nice to know the CEO cares enough to come out all the way from Philadelphia and visit us.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you want to visit?
Private plane or commercial? What are we thinking?
I don't want to know. I don't want to know, dude. I really don't want to know. But, yeah. Thank you, guys. You did. I kind of see your point now about, like, it was all right, 10 minutes. Are you wasting my time for this?
We've had the meetings where he has slides.
Slides,
yes. Agenda. And then if there's any time, we'll get to some questions. That's when it's like, everybody shut the F up.
Yeah, everyone shut
this
up.
This was like.
You guys might be right.
An open forum.
You might be right. Look at that podcast.
He went about 8 minutes.
Looked like Hosmer and Will Myers.
Now I want to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
All right. All right, we got to check traffic one more time. I think we're too late for things Ben likes.
We'll
take a look at tonight's game quickly when we come back on the other side of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danick.
Just a couple things wrapping up our morning drive. Collision to clearing stage on southbound 15 just before Mira Mesa Boulevard. Also eastbound 52 before the 15. Collision involving a couple vehicles. That's over the right shoulder. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Padres go for their third win in a row. It is a 6:40 start again, 5:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt, City Connect Friday, as the Padres send Dylan Cease to the mound. And if they ever needed a 7-inning-plus outing from Dylan Cease, today's the day. And don't know what exactly's been wrong with Dylan Cease, but whatever it is, really hope that today's the day that he gets back on track, because they really could use a long outing to rest that bullpen up, hopefully get a win, get back to 500, and once again have your opportunity to start making that run that they keep starting and then crashing back to earth and then starting it up and then back down again. So he'll be going up against Colin Ray. You might remember former Padre Colin Ray, who actually has a low 3 ERA and has been a nice stopgap for the Brewers in their injury-riddled rotation this year.
Yeah, I mean, again, one of those guys, you look at his numbers, you go, wow, 6-2 with a 3.29. He must be really, really good. He's a very average pitcher that's gotten very, very lucky this year. Not to take anything away from him, it's sometimes the name of the game. You know, it really is. But, you know, the guy sitting with a 3.29 ERA, Benny, his expected ERA is 5. You know, it's just... things are going his way right now, so it's up to the San Diego Padres to be disruptive. He's a 5-pitch pitcher, six-pitch pitcher right now, but he's heavy sinker, heavy cutter, heavy sweeper. So that's kind of what you're gonna get. He's right-handed, so let's feast tonight at Petco
Park. And the Padres got Manny, Tatis home run.
Yep, let's go.
Jackson, keep it rolling. Jake, keep it rolling tonight. If there's any update on the roster, if there's a move, I'm sure Annie and Elston will have it for you. They are coming up next. That's it for our adventurous week. For Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. We'll talk to you Monday morning at 6 a.m. right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell everybody your little nugget you're so delighted by.
I'm not delighted by it. I'm impressed. You might remember former PGA Tour player Dick Mast.
I do not remember Dick Mast.
Oh, he was a regular on tour for a while. He qualified for the Champions Tour event, 73 years old, and he qualified with the Monday qualifier, and now shot his one better than his age today in the first round of the Dick's Open.
What an open. My favorite open.
So if you want to keep an eye on Dick Mast and the Dick's Open this
like
week.
Like Dick's Sporting Goods?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. They sponsor the tournament.
Okay. I did not know Dick. I don't
we
know.
Had some revelations yesterday around this place. I don't know if anyone caught the round table. But what ended up clearly being the highlight is we learned that Chris Ello used to deliver singing telegrams.
Did you hear this, Paulie?
No.
You didn't hear this? Yeah. So
you did not hear this?
I missed that part.
So the seventh inning stretch question was, what's the worst job you've ever had? And, you know, Woods told his story about selling inspirational art out of his trunk.
Success.
And then the one day tuxedo rental shop when he wrecked all the tuxedos. Craig was great. He talked about working at soup plantation and like burning himself 12 times a day on the soups and the muffins.
He was very excited to get promoted to muffin man. And then he found the muffin tin, the muffin pans.
Just burned you like all the time.
Seared his arms. So he went home, his arms were covered in burns.
But then we get to Ello. And he goes, well, I don't think I've ever told anybody this, but during one of my summers at San Diego State, I needed a job. And for a couple of months, I delivered singing telegrams around San Diego.
But most interesting is that you had 5 get-ups to choose from.
Yeah.
And one was a cowboy. Okay.
You had to wear a costume.
Cowboy.
Knock on a door.
There was like
and then sing.
And then the one that was really interesting, Paulie, was like an Adam and Eve type bit where he was Adam in a bodysuit with a leaf covering his wiener.
Oh,
and he would have to go in and sing. And I said, oh, my Lord. I looked at him and I like an alien. I go, you did this. You did. Chris Ello. You went and did singing. He goes, yeah. I go, do you remember? No, I don't remember any of it. I'm like, bless.
Now, of course.
She told me that young Chris Ello was like, I heard that you were feeling ill.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, my
yeah, well, then.
God.
So then, Paulie, guess who was listening? Adam.
Oh.
I won't do anything. I need this. He tweeted about it.
He
ran in. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Oh, my God. What do I need to do to get you in? Scraby went nuts with it. And Ello's like, what did I do?
Oh, boy.
What did I do? And we had to move on to the roundtable. You know me. I would have interviewed him for an hour about it. I thought it was the most. It's riveting. Riveting. Like, he's had some cool stuff happen in his life. I mean, the guy, you know, played
Tony Gwynn.
With Tony Gwynn.
At San Diego State.
That's something to hang your hat on. This is more interesting to me.
It just was so out of
character. It's out of
character. Chris doesn't seem like the singing telegram sort.
I will do anything at all. Anything you need. I'm going to go get a unitard right now. Paulie, go look at his Twitter.
Oh, Jeffrey says someone had a great comment. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my sweetie pie.
Hello, my ragtime gal. It was incredible. I mean, you're like, wow, my story sucked compared to that. Ben's was refereeing little kids playing basketball.
Terrible. How compared did selling to motivational else's posters, like a cat, hang in there? How did that get beat?
How did that get buried? Yeah, me in my suit, like, it was like an Impreza or something, or like something like that, with a hatchback. And I remember one day I broke a bunch of them, so I had to pay for them. It was terrible. God. It was a terrible gig, but he was actually doing singing telegrams. But so yeah, he was. And now he doesn't have any pictures. He doesn't remember the name of the company. Nothing. No video. No.
Now this
nothing.
Is 1981. We didn't just have camera phones
right
everywhere to record these things.
It was great. That was a great, great story. But so we did the roundtable, and then I told you guys the story of what happened to me after. If you want to go back and listen, what happened to a friend of mine, 6 a.m. It was pretty heavy stuff. But we came back here. We had a meeting with our CEO, David Field. And the meeting started with our boss, Michael, calling us out with David, because apparently he picked up David from the airport and they put on Ben and Woods, as we suspected they might. And they just happened to catch when we started talking about the meeting and how I said, look, it's 1:45 in the afternoon. I got here at 5. I just want to be at home. Don't ask any superfluous questions. All right.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
The boss always has one or two that's, you know, it's pre-scripted. And, oh, let me ask you about this, right? Oh, just off the cuff, right? So we knew that was coming. That's fine. You knew a salesperson was going to ask something. That's standard. But I said to my guys in here, Benny and Paulie, I said, you guys, I mean, we don't even have to worry about you guys asking the question because we're not going to ask anything. We just want to get out of there. Son of a bitch, if Ben didn't raise his hand and ask the first question. And now he
broke. It wasn't the first question.
No.
It was like the second question.
The first question among the two of you.
Yeah, but let me
Woods asked the first question, but he claims it was just a joke.
It was a bit.
Let me
because I
let me explain.
Let me explain. We got called out and he said, oh, so I'm sure Ben and Woods will have a lot of questions for you. I go, oh yeah. By the way, how is fourth quarter pacing? Like it was a joke. And I sat down, I shut my mouth. We all agreed that we were going to do.
It was strategic, though. The meeting was going too short.
Yes, I agree.
We were only like 15 minutes in, and I felt like
10. It was 10.
10 or something. I felt like if there wasn't one or two questions to keep it going, it was going to be very awkward.
But the point was to end the meeting.
It wasn't going to just end there.
We never said.
It wasn't just going to end.
Did I get on the air and say, hey, let's keep this thing going as long as we can.
No.
I said, let's get out of here.
Here's the thing. The meetings that you're referring to are the ones that go about 45 minutes.
And then questions.
And then people start asking questions.
Yes, had that happened, I would have been silent. But because we had only gone like 12 minutes, and then he asked for some questions.
It was supposed to be an open
forum. We needed to get it to like 25 minutes just for everyone to feel satisfied and get out of there. So I tried to come up with something that would, you know, keep it moving, but not derail the process.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
This is a terrible question.
It wasn't the best.
It was a horrible.
Paulie had a great question.
Paulie did. I want to get
Paulie
to
Paulie actually asked a phenomenal question.
But your question was terrible.
Well, actually, I got an answer to my question.
Not from him.
CEO wasn't the right guy, but Adam answered it. So my question was, and I thought, the reason I thought he might be able to.
Terrible question.
It's not a question for the CEO.
Well, honestly, it wasn't, but I thought maybe he could have something to do with in terms of the negotiations with like Major League Baseball. When
he
we
didn't.
Play our.
He can't.
It's hard to, when you play your app, it's hard to play the Padres games in San Diego because you like identified as outside the county. But Adam said they just had an update where if you turn on location settings in the Odyssey app, it should be able to play. So if you're ever like on a walk trying to listen on your earbuds and it's going, you can't listen because you're outside the market area. And I'm going, no, I'm not. I'm in San Diego. Now you should be able to do it. So I did get an answer at least.
Like asking the CEO, hey, what headphones do you like? Look,
I could have answered your question.
Fine.
That's an
Adam could have answered.
That's an MLB
Adam
thing.
Did.
It has nothing to Paulie do with
had
us.
A great question, though.
Yeah, so then Ben has now broken the Ben and Woods seal, and it's for free reign.
That's also part of what
it's free reign to just fire questions at the CEO and extend our time. And Paulie did ask a good one. He said, asked about AI.
How does Odyssey plan to incorporate
or not incorporate
AI? Because look, I'm not too worried about AI maybe doing our specific jobs, but man, if you're just spinning records and talking for 30 seconds in between them, I'd be pretty worried because I know that technology exists.
Katie
traffic
asks,
reporters.
Yeah.
That can be replaced by AI pretty damn quickly, and it's kind of scary.
Katie asks, so I'm in a meeting. I ask, could this have been a call? Then I ask, could this call be an email? Then I wonder if the email could have been a text. I think the answer, Katie, is yes, yes, yes to all of it. But listen, you got to put in the FaceTime as a CEO. But then we got down to a minute. We got down to the end of the meeting. And one of our sales guys raised his hand and asked about FM radio and AM radio in cars because his Tesla is not – they had to do an upgrade in his Tesla. And then our boss weighed in about his Tesla. And so then they looked at me. I was laughing. They looked at me and I said, I don't get the signal very well in my vacation beach home. And I said, all you guys talking about your Tesla problems, I just want to go home. My boss, everyone looked at me like, oh, you're dead. You're dead. Cadillac problems. Well, actually, Tesla problems for all these people and their Teslas. So it ended. It was fine. It was not that long. 45 minutes, I think.
It was even less.
Even less. And
then
we had some food.
Yeah.
Then we went home.
But it's nice to know the CEO cares enough to come out all the way from Philadelphia and visit us.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you want to visit?
Private plane or commercial? What are we thinking?
I don't want to know. I don't want to know, dude. I really don't want to know. But yeah. Thank you, guys. You did. I kind of see your point now about, like, it was all right, 10 minutes. You wasted my time for this?
We've had the meetings where he has slides,
yes.
And agenda, and then if there's any time, we'll get to some questions. That's when it's like, everybody shut the F up.
Yeah, everyone shut
this
up.
This was like...
You guys might be right.
An open forum.
You might be right. He went about a podcast.
He went about 8 minutes.
Looked like Hosmer and Will Myers.
Now I want to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, we got to check traffic one more time. I think we're too late for things Ben likes.
We'll
take a look at tonight's game quickly when we come back on the other side of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danick.
Just a couple things wrapping up our morning drive. Collision to clearing stage on southbound 15 just before Mira Mesa Boulevard. Also eastbound 52 before the 15. Collision involving a couple vehicles. That's over the right shoulder. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Padres go for their third win in a row. It is a 6:40 start again, 5:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt, City Connect Friday, as the Padres send Dylan Cease to the mound. And if
Let's
they ever
go.
Needed a 7-inning-plus outing from Dylan Cease, today's the day. And don't know what exactly's been wrong with Dylan Cease, but whatever it is, really hope that today's the day that he gets back on track, because they really could use a long outing to rest that bullpen up, hopefully get a win, get back to 500, and once again have your opportunity to start making that run that they keep starting and then crashing back to earth and then starting it up and then back down again. So he'll be going up against Colin Ray. You might remember former Padre Colin Ray, who's actually has a low 3 ERA and has been a nice stopgap for the Brewers in their injury-riddled rotation this year.
Yeah, I mean, again, one of those guys, you look at his numbers, you go, wow, 6-2 with a 329. He must be really, really good. He's a very average pitcher that's gotten very, very lucky this year. Not to take anything away from him, it's sometimes the name of the game. You know, it really is. But, you know, the guy sitting with a 329 ERA, Benny, his expected ERA is 5. You know, it's just... Things are going his way right now, so it's up to the San Diego Padres to be disruptive. He's a 5-pitch pitcher, so you're gonna actually 6-pitch pitcher right now. But he's heavy sinker, heavy cutter, heavy sweeper. So that's
but he is right-handed.
He's right-handed, so let's feast tonight
and,
at Petco
and the
Park.
Padres got Manny, Tatis home run.
Yep, let's go,
Jackson.
Keep it rolling.
I mean, Jake, keep it rolling tonight. If there's any update on the roster, if there's a move, I'm sure Annie and Elston will have it for you. They are coming up next. That's it for our adventurous week. For Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. We'll talk to you Monday morning at 6 a.m. right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.